Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him, and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This is the word of our Lord. It is something to expect. The arrival of eternal joy has arrived on earth. It's great joy. And how do we respond to that joy? What I find fascinating when I read Scripture is how we find our response to receiving great joy is actually found before Jesus is even born. When we look at Luke 1, we find that Mary, carrying the precious child, goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. And we have this conversation, and it says, "Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord.'" That's how we should respond to joy. When we encounter Jesus, we should leap for joy. Imagine an unborn child just hearing the sound of Mary's voice, leapt for joy because of the Savior of the world. We should expect joy. We should respond to it appropriately. But joy is one of these things that sometimes we struggle with, and Jesus continues to tell us to expect joy. Perhaps one of the most intimate conversations recorded in all the Gospels that happens between Jesus and the disciples happens in the book of John, and it's a long conversation. It's John 13 to John 17. And Jesus is pouring his heart out to his disciples. He knows he's about to be betrayed. He knows what's coming next. This is their last conversation together. And one of the things Jesus says to the disciples, he says, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." My joy. Isn't that interesting? Jesus doesn't say joy. He says my joy. Well, let me tell you what my joy is not. Because I think we get it wrong. We look in the wrong places. If your joy is found in things, then when those things fail, and they will fail, you will fail. Your joy will fail. This also means that joy is never constant if it's found in things. Let me give you a couple examples. If the source of your joy is going to the movies, maybe you enjoy movies, then when you're not at the movies, There's not a whole lot of joy. For some of you career people, if the source of your joy is found in your work, then when you are no longer able to work, your joy is gone. If the source of your joy is found in a relationship with another person, then when that other person is gone, your joy is gone. When Jesus said, "My joy be in you," here's what he means. Jesus wants to take the joy that is in him, the joy that originates in the Father, and place that joy in us. Jesus reiterates this point a second time to his disciples. In John 17, verse 13, he says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves." Notice the emphasis again. He's not saying joy, he's saying my joy. It separates the joy that we look for in the world. It separates what we think the world can give us. He's saying, don't hold on to that. Don't look for that kind of joy. In other words, look for the joy that I bring you. The joy that Jesus brings also brings stability. This is not a joy that comes and goes as we experience different aspects of life. The joy that comes from God is a constant. It is a joy that you take with you. It is a continual joy, joy that never ends, and a joy that can see you through some of the toughest moments of your life. However, your joy is linked to your faith. The source of a Christian's joy is Jesus Christ. A Christian's joy comes to us from what Christ has done on the cross. That is why we celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. Our joy is not dependent upon anything other than Christ. That is why it is secure. Regardless of what is happening in life, we can still hold on to joy. Biblical joy, true joy, is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that can be created through our own efforts. The level of our joy in our life is proportionate to the level of our faith. And we can lose our joy. Sin is one of the things that can rob us of our joy. But when we realize that Christ came into this world so that we could have eternal life, we repent. We receive salvation, and our natural response should not only be joy, but should be great joy. Here are some of the examples of joy that have occurred with an encounter with Jesus. Let's look at our shepherds. Can we have our shepherds come back? The shepherds, if you're not familiar with their story, they were in a situation that they didn't honestly want to be in. Herod, King Herod, had ordered them to go and then to report back to him. They didn't want to do it. We know they didn't want to do it because they didn't follow through with the order. But they went so far, they followed the star, and there in the manger, there was Jesus. And it brought them great joy. We read this in Matthew 2, beginning of verse 9. After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. If you are in a situation where life has you going in a direction that you really don't want to go, remember, Jesus is here with you. We look at the woman at the well. The woman at the well, she had a series of bad relationships, and she was an outcast in her own community. But there was Jesus with her at the well. Her encounter with Jesus led to so much joy that she left everything behind to tell everyone about her new life in Jesus. If you have struggled with relationships, if you struggle to fit in, remember, Jesus is here with you. We revisit the man at the pool. This man felt helpless in his condition, and he was hurt that everyone ignored him. But there was Jesus at the pool. Imagine being unable to walk for so many years, and then that one person who doesn't ignore you, that one person heals you. How much joy do you think he had from his encounter with Jesus? If you struggle with hopelessness or isolation, remember, Jesus is here with you. And then there's Peter. We're so familiar with this story. Peter's faith was tested on the water. For that brief time, he was tested, but Jesus was there in the water with him. Peter's walk with Christ changed him forever. And we all know that he is one of the founders of the Christian church. The same Peter that finds Jesus in the storm, the same Peter that is being tested, the same Peter that has fear, is the same Peter who writes this: "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." That was written by the Peter who was terrified on the water. If you are being tested, if you are fearful of the future, remember, Jesus is here with you. And then we remember Mary Magdalene. Mary herself was a recipient of the miracle that removed numerous demons from her. It transformed her life, and she was the one to find the empty tomb. And she is the one who Jesus reveals himself to first as the resurrected Christ. There, in the empty tomb, Mary found Jesus. Imagine the joy that she felt in that moment. If you are grieving, if you find yourself hopeless, remember, Jesus is here with you. And then there's Paul. Paul goes from being a persecutor of the way, those that are the followers of Jesus, to being the leader of the Christian movement throughout the entire world. I want you to hear this. Paul, the guy that witnessed the stoning of the disciple, that Paul goes on to write this: "Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now, the same man who once sought to eradicate Christians is the same man who is now praying with joy for them. If you find yourself going down the wrong path in life, if you think that Jesus can never use you because of the things you have done, remember, Jesus is here with you. And then we have Barabbas. Oh, poor Barabbas. We don't know if Barabbas ever repented of his sins. But Barabbas can still teach us something this morning. In Arabic, Barabbas' name is Bar-Abba. Bar-Abba means son of the father. I don't think it's a coincidence that Barabbas is there at the trial with Jesus. I don't think it's a coincidence that he is the one that is let go. Barabbas is the wrong son of the father to go to the cross. Barabbas has to step out of the way and move on. Because Jesus was there with Barabbas, Jesus went to the cross so that we could all experience joy. The greatest gift, at least one of them, as we think about the Advent candles, is joy. Comes wrapped in cloth in a filthy manger. Tender little baby who will grow up, who will sacrifice everything so that you can take that joy with you always. Christians may endure trials. Christians may struggle. Christians may be persecuted. But understand this. You can always carry joy with you. In the midst of chaos is peace. In the midst of desperation is hope. In our darkest moments, we can always find joy. I want you to sing with us now, Holy Ground. Let us worship Jesus with his joy in our heart.
We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. you stand and sing with us?
We are standing.
Psalm 139. For the music director of David, a psalm. O Yahweh, you have searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize, you search out my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike for you. When the God of heaven stepped down to earth in the birth of Christ, he showed that he was a God who was there for his people. And when Christ was raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, and sent his Holy Spirit, he proved he was a God who will always be there with his people. It's who he is. God will always be a God who is with his people. Matthew, the disciple of Jesus, understood this clearly. He thought this truth was so important to the identity of God that his account of Jesus' life is bracketed on either end to put this on full display. When Matthew shares the details of Jesus' birth that he finds important, he makes sure to include how Jesus' birth fulfills a prophecy a specific one that God delivered through the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was born. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, we read this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God is with his people. That's at the very beginning of Matthew's gospel. At the very end, after Christ gave himself up to death and then was raised by the Holy Spirit, Matthew ends his account with the final command and promise Christ gives his apostles. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. God is with his people always. Notice Jesus doesn't say, I will be with you. I will be with you when you get it right. I will be with you when you clean yourself up. I will be with you when you do everything I asked you to do. I will be with you just in those times when you need a pick-me-up. I will be with you when you have a big life decision looming over your head. No. God is with his people always. He will be there in the future because he will never leave you at all. He was there. The brain-shattering truth of Christmas is that the God of heaven, the Creator God, showed up in person. We get so comfortable with that at Christmas. Oh, Jesus, little baby. Yeah, that's amazing. The God of heaven showed up in person. He was there. He is here now. And by here now, I mean in this room. He is here now because he has poured out his Holy Spirit. He has placed his own life, his spirit, inside of those who believe in him. And he will be there. We can expect him to be there in the future because that's who he is. He is a God who is with his people. Where can we go from his spirit? Where can we flee from his presence? The Gospel of Matthew ends the same way it begins, with a proclamation that God is with us and promises he will be with us forever. When you leave this building today, this morning, You can go with the expectation that God goes before you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and through his Holy Spirit within you so that you can have hope and peace and joy. Now, when I say that you can go with that expectation, maybe you don't feel like you're allowed to expect God to do anything in your life. Right? That sounds like a pretty bold assumption. Who am I to expect God to do anything? Who am I to expect anything of the Lord? But it's not a bad thing to expect God to be who he said he was going to be. In fact, I think that's a pretty good definition of faith. So, as we sing this next song, Expectation, lean in to it as if what God says is true. Expect that God will be there with you always, just like he promised.
South Lake, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you simply hold out your hands like this? I hope you take with you his joy. You saw glimpses of it this morning. You saw precious little children dancing and singing with joy. You saw actors who were telling a story of those who encountered Jesus and found great joy. I hope you worshiped with joy this morning. South Lake, take this joy with you. Share it with this world because it needs it. Go now in peace. God bless you all. Hug somebody. Tell me you love them. We'll see you next week.